and I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fife of the Fremantle Football Club.
Shade from the mound. Needs to be in perfect.
Hey guys, welcome to our chat with Lee Kitchen. Our chat from earlier with Leon Davis is available below on your podcast app. Once again, huge thanks to Lee for coming into the studio. Of course, taking time out of his day to come chat with us in the studio. Enjoy the show, guys.
Welcome back to the Centre Square podcast on Sport FM 91.3. We just had an interview with Leon Davis. Ethan and Luca are back in the studio. Boys, welcome back.
Yeah, great to be back in the chair.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good to be back. Stoked for this interview.
Yeah. So special guests in person. 3-time Waffle Premiership player with the Subiaco Lions, one of which as captain 2019, 2017 Outreach Medal was the best and fairest at the club. He's also represented WA at state level 5 times. It's Lee Kitchen. Firstly, Lee, thanks for not only being a part of the show, but coming in person. How are you?
Pleasure, Ethan, Luca. Thanks for having me. It's good to see how the best do it. Thanks for having me in.
No, absolute pleasure. I think you're the first since Jack Mayo to come in the studio, which was last year, fellow Subiaco prospect, now at the Saints.
Man.
But obviously, you're from Victoria and played for Frankston, the same team as your housemate and last week's guest, Lachlan Delahunty. But you came to Lions a year later than him in 2015. How was your childhood in Victoria and what pathway over there? It's a bit more AFL dominated, but was footy always a big passion growing up and then heading over here? How did Subi approach you? Was it just a bit of a sense of heading into the unknown?
A few questions there for me, Ethan. I'll try and unpack those. Growing up, awesome. Pretty lucky childhood. Mum and dad and a couple of older sisters, they're all into sport. So, yeah, that's pretty much our family was... Every weekend, getting shuttled around to basketball or footy for myself, a bit of cricket, and my sisters played a lot of netball, really talented netball and basketballers, and beat me up pretty severely, I would say. One of them's a couple of years older, Mel, who ended up playing professional netball for a few years, and the older sister was a bit easier on me, thankfully. In terms of footy pathway, sort of played basketball and footy all the way up till I was... 18 and sort of took the opportunities that were the most exciting at the time. So I think in under-16s I ended up playing the program over there, like you sort of alluded to, is through the TAC Cup.
Yeah.
I assume it's still called that now, and I played with the Eastern Rangers, which was a great time. Went through with guys like Rory Sloan was probably the one who's had the most success out of my age group, and we had a really talented younger group, in which probably... Liam Shields is the guy that is still going around and forged a great career. But yeah, I love that. And I played when I was 16. The following year, I just played basketball, didn't play footy. Had some cool opportunities come there. And then under-18s went back to footy again. And again, played with Eastern Rangers. And then after that, a few years at Box Hill and then a few years at Frankston. And then in terms of Subiaco approaching me, it was definitely... great to hear Lockie's perspective for a year, but I sort of just wanted to leave no stone unturned in seeing how far I could go with footy. It sort of lined up really well with the work opportunity that I had. I was working for Oakley at the time, and the fellow who was working, there's only one job over here, he wanted to go back east, so yeah. Tough decision. I love playing footy at Frankston. It was an awesome footy club, but I came over and met with Jared, and look, it was a great challenge, and I'm glad I made the move over.
Yeah, absolutely. Been successful.
Yeah, and it sounds like a bit of an interesting pathway as well. You know, given a football a year off, in such a critical period of your football career, because obviously that underage stuff is pretty big. But yeah, to still play, and be playing at Subi, a successful waffle club.
I might have made a blue there, I reckon, taking that year off. Who knows what things might have unfolded differently, I guess, but. Yeah, at the time I felt like it was the right thing to do. So
yeah, and you seem to have settled into Subi pretty nicely. Last year you were averaging, the first year you were averaging 23 disposals, 20 odd votes in the sand over, and you were runner up best and fairest. Are you usually someone that fits into a club pretty well?
Funny that, actually. I always thought I'd play for one footy club, really. That was always the way I envisioned it going down, you know, end up somewhere and play you as many years as you can, hopefully 12, 15, something like that, and then hang them up. But when I moved to Frankston, I suppose, it was, they're a really welcoming club, real strong, inclusive, hard-working but fun culture there. A lot of blokes from the local region, and they're a pretty large catchment from like the peninsula and the east side of town. So awesome, welcoming club, easy to fit into there. And then similar with Subi, I guess I found it quite easy. Definitely moving into state, it helped knowing someone. And at the same time, you go to a footy club, pretty like-minded people at most clubs you find. You already have a common interest and spend a lot of time together. So it's probably one of the easier environments to fit into. Yeah. But yeah, lucky the clubs I've been at.
Yeah, and were you surprised at how much you contributed to a side that had won the flag just the year before and were looking to go back-to-back?
I came to a club that was in a good position, firstly, so don't know how much credit I can actually take for that. They were rolling along really well, but not surprised, and I suppose, in my contribution, because they had a pretty clear role for me, and I was pretty much coming in replacing one of their greats, Jason Bristow, or trying to replace him in terms of a really similar way I played footy. So I was confident I could get that done. But, yeah, fortunate I came into a such strong side and a really strong midfield as well.
Yeah, no, it's always handy.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
So you represented WA in the state game against South Australia that year with a win, 45-point win. Yourself, you got 18 disposals. Is this when you started to get a feel for the proud history of the West Australian jersey, I guess, of what it had to offer, and how it was like to come against some former Port Adelaide and Adelaide players in that South Australian team?
It was an awesome experience. I'm trying to think where we played. I think we played out at Bassendean that day, from memory.
That was a Tasmania game.
Oh, was that Tassie? Where did we play Adelaide?
I think it was a year after.
Tassie was 2016, right. I believe, yeah.
Right. They had a really good side.
Yeah.
So to get that win by that margin was a little bit of a surprise, but it was great to get that first taste of playing for WA. I think you sort of get a sense for how big footy is over here with just the sort of coverage that gets compared to in Victoria, whereas really the AFL's come from the original VFL has become the AFL, so there's not that same sort of history that you have over here with East Fremantle, Subi, West Perth, all these clubs that have been in there from the start, and then obviously West Coast and Fremantle being their own beast. So when you first get here, you get a sense of it, and even just walking into the stadiums are really sort of different setup from Victoria. So walking into Medibank Stadium, I remember coming up the driveway and seeing the size of the grandstand, and got me going straight away the first time I came in. So you could sense how big footy was, and there's not too many prouder states in WA in terms of us against everybody else mentality, and you got a pretty good sense of that when you start playing against some of these other states.
Yeah, absolutely. Della also said in his first flag in 2014 that it was kind of like a blur for him because he just moved over. The year went so fast, he was trying to get used to the new living conditions, I guess. Were you able to celebrate the grand final win in 2015 against West Perth? Did you take it for granted, or did you really learn to appreciate it?
Definitely didn't take it for granted. Again, fortunate came into a really strong side, and we were probably winning. We had a pretty successful year in terms of our win-loss that year. Only dropped a couple, or maybe three, I think. So I knew how hard it was to get there. From Frankston, we had some tough, lean years in terms of wins. We were a promising side, but probably just didn't. We probably didn't have that belief that we could win a lot, whereas that was something pretty obvious at Subi. So definitely celebrated it. Made the most of it and enjoyed it. But probably I had the appreciation for it, but the next following 2 years were pretty tough. So maybe there was a little bit of a different feeling in 15 from 18, I'd say.
Yeah, well, it's gone by pretty fast. I imagine 5 years doesn't feel like that long ago. Obviously a really good year for WA footy as well, because I remember Freo finished top, West Coast finished second. They had the two prelims and the Waffle Grand Final and the Sunday.
I reckon it cooked the crowd a little bit that year, because we had so much home footy that that weekend. So I think everyone was sick of heading to the stadium, but but that's my only complaint. It was a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, well, speaking of the stadium, you showed no signs of slowing down in 2016, playing 21 games and just under 300 disposals, as well as a strong performance in the final series. How frustrating was it to lose to a side that was basically a Fremantle side in the grand final?
Well, it was frustrating, but frustrating just because we lost.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a lot of really competitive guys at the club and proud fellas as well, in the good sense of the word. So it was frustrating to lose to a team that was better than you on the day. And they had a great team and they performed really well. And I think partly that they really bought in, those guys from the outside looking in. There was a few blokes who were probably coming to the end of their career at Fremantle, who had been together for a long time and really good players. And those guys have gone on to continue their career, some of them. But, yeah, from my perspective, I really felt like they gelled together and said, look, let's finish on a high, and they certainly did. And, yeah, we weren't up to it on the day, so it did hurt, but the rules are the rules, and you're allowed to do it the way they played, so no hard feelings from that perspective.
So there was no sort of thoughts of how could this possibly be fair or anything, or was it just you had to accept it?
Yeah, we got beaten. We got beaten by a team that played better than us, so, yeah, it's easy when you're not feeling good, or you're shattered because you had something that was so close that you didn't quite get there to blame other people. I think definitely the rules that they brought in after the fact over the next couple of years were good rules that probably need to be in place.
Yeah.
But at the time, you couldn't blame Peel for doing it.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty reasonable.
And what was it like playing the last game at the Subiaco Oval, and was that a special moment for you?
That one was. Yeah, that one was a good one. That was, you have to refresh my memory. That
Peel.
Was 18?
I think 17.
Yeah. Sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that good.
Yeah, no, because Peel won.
That's the one.
All shaped up.
That was the second
being
one.
A great
day,
yeah. So it felt like everything was falling into place. Subi playing in the last game at the stadium. That year was a bit different. I feel like we had the better team, and it's easy to say that we lost, though. That they get the cup and they'll always have it, and they deserved it. They beat us, but I really feel like we didn't have our best performance that day. Whereas the year before, we played reasonably well. They had a really good side. But the following year, I just felt like we probably didn't. We didn't turn up and play to our best, which hurt more than the year before, where you went out and you had a great game, or a great competitive game between two sides, playing good footy and losing. The following year, I felt like we didn't play to the best of our abilities, and that one, you know, there's a different feeling about not performing your best and not getting the job done when you feel like you potentially could have.
Yeah, especially I think there was a few opportunities you probably missed as well in that game. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. The third quarter, we were absolutely peppering the goals, and we couldn't score. And I remember myself having an opportunity that I felt like would have probably a critical time, a momentum swinger, and I missed it. Thanks for bringing that one back up, Ethan.
It's part of the best.
That 2016 state game where you beat Tasmania by a massive 134 points at Bassendean. You must have been pretty happy with the performance. Obviously, you were teammates with Tim Kelly, Jai Bolton, Marlon Pickett, to name a few. So what was that win like for you guys and you personally?
That one was a little bit different, I guess, from the year before, because generally the consensus is going into those games that WA are probably strong favourites to beat Tassie, and not taking anything away from that, just the size of the competitions. And really probably played in our favour. The conditions are vastly different from Tassie conditions in May, June. But it was a lot of fun. It was felt like more of an exhibition, that game, that one, I guess. The other one's really, the way we approached it, I guess, it more of a...
State
not
of
saying
origin,
approach like that, but yeah, you probably get more of that state of origin, real state pride, rivalry. Feeling, whereas that Tassie it was a lot of fun. There's lots of nice guys in that team. A few guys are new from crossing paths from previously, so it was nice to sort of host them as well, and just see what Tassie footy is about as well.
Yeah,
well, we'll get back to that 2017 season. I mean, you're averaging 25 disposals and you got 26 disposals in that grand final. But were you a bit annoyed that you weren't receiving any attention from any AFL recruiters? There wasn't a lot more you could have done. And heading into the Best and Fairest night, did you expect to win? And how much did it mean to you when you did?
It was a bit of a... In the second part of that question, it was a bit of a funny feeling. Like, I was incredibly proud to win the Outreach medal at Subiaco. But it was only a few days afterwards, because we'd planned the footy trip was the following week. I believe it was on the Thursday or the Friday we were taking off. So we did the... It was only about 4 days later after we lost that we did the vote count. Mm-hmm. So it was still a bit of a somber mood, really. So it was a little bit difficult to sort of have a celebrationary feeling so close to just like a bit of a heartbreaking weekend, really. So that's the main feeling I remember from that night. Like, yeah, it was a tough one. It was one hand, you were super proud that you'd have that achievement, but at the other hand, you're just, the overwhelming feeling in the room was disappointment. So that stuck with me. And everyone was obviously very congratulative and supportive, but it's pretty obvious when that's the real feeling in the room.
AFL recruiters, there wasn't much you could have done. I mean, you were one of the premier mids in the comp. You must have... I mean, obviously AFL was like the dream, so did you get any word from any recruiters about what you needed to do, or was it just...
I think probably by that stage I sort of... Not that you always have that tiny little bit of hope which keeps you going, and more of it becomes almost of a dream, really, more than anything. You know, you might get that Ian Callaghan story, or your James Podsiadly sort of story. But I was 27, I guess, in 2017, so the likelihood is pretty slim. Don't get me wrong, I would have loved an opportunity at some stage throughout it. To show my value to an AFL club, but it wasn't to be, and I'm pretty happy with the hand that I've been dealt at Subiaco. But yeah, there's a lot of good players getting around in that year. I'm trying to think who else we had who did get drafted.
Liam Baker was in that Subi side.
Yeah,
and then obviously Marlon Pickett was in playing for South Fremantle, and I think you guys beat him in the prelim.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was obviously like a lot of good players out there.
I think Horse might have had nearly 40 disposals and kicked two or three goals in that game as well. And when you see someone like that doesn't get any attention, it's hard to be down in the dumps when he's been clearly the best player in the ground and an incredible player throughout his whole career. But I guess like you look to someone like Sam Menegola, who just absolutely ripped the comp to shreds in 12 games, and that's probably what you have to do if you want to demand the attention that they just can't overlook you. So yeah, fortunate to play with some pretty talented guys while we've been there.
So you've been a part of a star-studded lineup, especially in the midfield with some guys that have been on an AFL list, Angus Littleland and Harry Marsh that we had on last year, Ben Newton, Jordan Locker, and Kyle Horsley. But as a midfield group, do you discuss a lot of stuff during the games, or do you sort of just have that feeling that you know your role and know what to play?
It'd be interesting, actually, to have a little mic in there, I think, for you guys. Some big personalities have gone through there over the 5 years, but generally work together pretty well. I'd say we have some rules that are basically non-negotiables, and every now and then someone... whether it seems to be on purpose or not on purpose, in your opinion, doesn't live up to what the expectation is. And there's some hard words, but most of the time, yeah, we're pretty proactive about what we're doing. But we're pretty basic as well, I guess. Like, you'd think we'd be doing some pretty creative things in there, but we're pretty meat and potatoes. And then, it's changed a little bit. I feel like Cole and myself have sort of been the only ones who have been there for that time, and everyone else has either got drafted or... Come back from an AFL list and back to Subi. But I suppose there's a lot of games between that group now, and a lot of experience at different levels. So we work together pretty well, and can normally try and figure things out on the fly if things aren't going our way.
Yeah. How much is it dealt with? Is it, do you talk a lot like when there's a stoppage, or is it just planned like before the game, during breaks, and like during the week, or do you actually change things up at any point?
Yeah, we probably sort of drill that stuff for a long period of time working into the season. A lot of the after Christmas portion of our pre-season would be working on different scenarios. And we have two pretty clear different scenarios, and then have plan C and D as well that might change depending on which opponent we're playing and what their strengths are, and if there's any potential we can exploit something in their game. So that sort of thing is discussed probably from about Tuesday. We obviously review the game on Monday, and then our Tuesday session's looking at our opposition and what we plan to put in place that week. But yeah, like, things don't always go your way, so you've got to be able to adjust, and I think that's something we sort of got better at over the last few years. We were maybe a little bit rigid, sort of just swung the one hammer all the time. And it's something Scully identified, actually, that we probably had to, as a playing group, not always just follow exactly his instruction, but to the letter, but be able to be a little bit creative at times when we needed to be, or adjust. So, yeah, it's taken us a little while to get better at that.
Yeah, like most things.
Yeah, so that 2018 season is probably the best ever in the Waffles history, going undefeated. But personally, how much did this bring, like, the whole team together? Closer bonds. Didn't all three leagues win the grand final as well? So it must have built a real strong culture in the club behind closed doors.
Yeah, that was probably the... Going undefeated was really cool. But you probably don't really realise it while you're doing it. I think it's super cliche, but you really do just look to the following week and... you don't really, like, stack your wins up. You just, we won on the weekend, move on. We won on the weekend, move on. But looking back, it's pretty cool, and, like, to be able to know you were part of that season. And the paper the day after we won, like, just that, the back page with the perfection or something like that, it was a really cool moment. But I think the biggest part of it was all three teams winning, because you just have... We'd experienced it ourselves when we didn't win previous year and the reserves won. It's just not the same as when everyone's on that high of winning a premiership. You know, you've got a room full of people who are all feeling the same way, basically, apart from a couple of blokes who might have been unlucky to miss out. But it's, yeah, you can't... To have all three win on the one day certainly was a party that carried on for the best part of a week.
I know the Colts, that was their first grand final win in ages. They're always down the bottom. So, like, yeah, as you mentioned, must have been just, like, a massive, I guess, joy and, like, elation in the whole room.
Yeah, and you didn't have to be careful of, I suppose, like, when you've you're in the position where your team's won but someone else has won, you obviously want to be respectful of how they're feeling. Yeah. But, there was none of that. You could just...
All champions.
Unwind and, just all heading in the same direction.
Yeah, well, it's something all Waffle clubs would dream of, to have, you know, all three sides win the flag in the same year. So, it'd be amazing.
Do you reckon that, because obviously that was Jared Schofield's last year at the club, do you reckon you wanted to send him off on a real high? And how did you deal with his departure and Bo Wardman stepping into the role?
Definitely wanted to send him off the way he deserved to be sent off. And it probably wasn't completely known that he was leaving. I don't think his decision had been made prior to that grand final, but there was certainly a feeling that he was going to go on to AFL at some stage, and he'd had a lot of interest the year before and even the year before that. So, sort of, I guess if I was a betting man, I thought he was probably going to go, and really happy for him. And he's going to continue to be a great coach and a really good mate. And it's nice to see that part of his relationship with other players now that he's moved into state, and the care he still has for the footy club as well, in terms of making sure things are all in check and going well. So it was tough in one, for a couple of reasons, I guess. Him moving, you got a mate moving away. You always knew what you're going to get with Jared, and having that consistency of the same coach and the expectation, and it was sort of some concern that we might drop off in performance, because he was an incredible coach, and you never know what's going to happen when you take that sort of personality away from a group and that sort of expectation and drive. But then the other flip side of that is it gave great opportunity from someone who, from our footy club in Bo, to take the reins, already knew the systems we were playing. It spent a lot of time with Jared, and those guys still talk a lot about footy, and a different personality and in a different look and a different mood, probably brings a different mood to the group that Jared brought. So it could have been refreshing for players as well, just to have a different voice and But there was also that, yeah, there was that unknown until last year, whether we were going to be able to perform, and he's doing a brilliant job in his own right. So it's been a pretty great start for Bo, and from my perspective, he's doing all the right things.
Yeah, I think there would have been a lot of people writing you off in that sense, because, you know, people were like, oh, Jared Schofield's the only reason, you know, he's had AFL experience ahead of some other Waffle coaches. But I think it's like good how Bo's just stepped in and just contributed.
Yeah, and probably a little bit, I'm sure you didn't mean that, but a bit of an understatement. His contribution's been huge to the footy club, and probably they're both alike in how much they sort of gave their time to the footy club. The amount of hours those two fellas put in was enormous, not just with the senior level or the reserves level, but making sure that the development of the 16s group and the Colts are all moving towards what they sort of stand for as an entire club. Yeah, so we've been pretty fortunate, actually, at Subi with those two guys. So,
yep. Pretty much covered it there.
Yeah, so something Della spoke to us about was last year's Sandover medal, where you rocked up a little bit later than you would have liked.
Probably my fault, sorry, Del.
Is it true that it would have been a bit less enjoyable because you can't have a drink? But is it a good feeling to not have a drink and know that you're in the last game of the year?
Absolutely. I wouldn't trade that for a beer any day. There's plenty of time. Yep. Plenty of time you can spend drinking. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to have a beer and unwind, but that's not the night of the year you want to be having a beer.
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, everybody, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you'd much rather be playing the last
game.
Did
he talk about the story about him knowing that he won the Sandover beforehand?
No, he said that he said he was no chance, and he said, oh, I'm not going to finish top 10, and that's why he couldn't enjoy it, because he had, like, people were saying, oh, he could win, like, be one of the first Ruckman to win, yeah, and that's going to be embarrassing for him because he won't finish top 10. So,
yeah, he, not sure oh, he said that's to you, interesting. But that's interesting. He didn't, well, he didn't go to the night thinking he was going to win, but there were some events that unfolded that might have given him some inkling that he was a chance.
Yeah, so yet another flag in 2019 against South Fremantle. Did this one feel somewhat different with Bo Wardman obviously taking over? How did it feel holding up the cup at Optus?
Just restart.
And what were the celebrations compared to previous years? Is there somewhere particular the boys go hard in with celebrations after a big win like that?
Do we want me to answer that first part of the question, or is that cut out?
No, we go that one.
Okay, yeah. Riffer. Go with that one?
Yeah, go both of them.
Okay, cool. I guess they're all unique, I guess, the different years. Yep. They don't really mesh into each other, I don't think, because you always got a new squad. And the team we had the year before when we went undefeated was a bloody good team. Like, there was not really... You look across that board, it was... it was a strong team. We had some good players. And the next year, there was a few changes. Obviously, we lost Clarkey, and then we lost DeLuca mid-year.
He was stiff, though. I don't know how he got delisted from Carlton.
Very, very, very stiff. Good player. But so there was a few things that didn't... From a club perspective, you know, you're like, well, it would have been great to have him. Obviously, it would wrap for him to go and have that opportunity at AFL. But, you know, it was in terms of our campaign to try and win it, it was a huge loss. Sorry, laughing at my phone buzzing there, DeLuca.
Right.
Not at losing you. Come back, mate. You don't know if VFL's getting up. We want you back. So it was a bit different from that perspective, and it was obviously being captain was a huge. It was a special moment being out there with Bo. Like, it was both our first time at Subiaco being coach and captain. So to get to stand out there and hold the cup was pretty cool. A nice moment. And then celebration wise, we always go back to the club the following day. That's sort of the where everything kicks off. We went to one of our sponsors this year were nice enough to put us up at the Shoe, so that was pretty good in the city. Worth checking out for a beer. It's a nice little spot. Can watch things happen over from upstairs, away from all the hustle and bustle. But before that, where do we used to go? Geez, we really carry on. So we've got a different spot for each night of the week. So
is there somewhere, like, obviously that's after the game, but is there somewhere in, like, the off season where you go, like, for a holiday and show off the budgie smugglers that Gussie's got going?
Gussie loves the budgie smugglers. Yeah. Every year we get a new set. Well, we do our end of season trips. I don't know if Gus went into those at all. We try and do every second year we get. So we got your standard Bali set up, which is probably biannually, and then the next year we look at something a bit more extravagant. So we went to Mexico.
That's a big trip.
That was a good one. Yeah. 10 days in Mexico was a tough footy trip for those blokes who've been on footy trips. There was no letting up on that one. But as a group, no, it's probably those big trips we look forward to, I guess. Outside of that, it's just probably blokes doing their own things weekends. Yeah.
And Harry Marsh, apparently he wasn't going to go last year. Did he end up going?
Heartbreakingly, mate, I didn't go on last year's trip. Did you not? I had a trip planned with my best mate, Taylor Gilchrist. If you remember Taylor Gilchrist from the Sydney Swans, never played, but good footballer, even better fella. Him and his wife, Tiffany, came over, and we already had a planned trip up to Exmouth, so we had a couple of weeks up there. So, unfortunately, the middle weekend was footy trip.
Bugger.
Which, yeah. But it was a good trip. Yeah.
You got to get your
priorities. I'm not sure if Harry mattered over there or not.
He's yeah.
I think he might have.
Yeah, they say he loves to be with the boys, but he also doesn't as well.
If you ever get him back in, ask him about his nickname, the Naked Man.
We spoke about that. He kept it kind of low. It was a bit low key.
Yeah. Gussie gave us that information.
It's surprising though. He's a low key individual, so you wouldn't, if you'd met him and you guys have, you wouldn't have thought that he's the kind of guy that to But I think he does it in a pretty low key as well, from all reports. So
yeah. Well, speaking of the beer and that side, we understand you work as a sort of bartender at the Handsome Stranger, I believe. How's that business going? There's a few players involved in that industry. We had Chris Marston a few weeks back. He's involved with the wine.
Yeah.
But has that been affected through COVID-19? How do you balance that with footy?
So that's a part-time thing that I sort of started up 4 years ago. So it's a mobile bar business called the Handsome Stranger, which sort of mainly lends itself to weddings. So if people have a DIY or a pop-up wedding, we do a lot of work at a place called Assembly Yard in Fremantle, which is an awesome spot. So that's primarily, we do about 20 to 25 weddings a year, but full-time I work for a contact lens company. So that's my 9-to-5, and it's a great company I work for called Cooper Vision. But a lot of fun, mate, in terms of the bar business. Get to go to a lot of weddings. Everyone's normally in a pretty good mood. Dalla and I sort of spoke about it years ago. Like, where are people the happiest? Having a good time and pretty easy work. And we thought that was a good idea. So
that'd be up there, yeah.
So that's how that was born. And my partner Hannah and I work in that a fair bit together. And another mate, Matt Sporn and Simon Moore, who was also a footy player at Subi, yeah, premiership player at Subi. So that's been a lot of fun, but it's not a huge commitment. It's just a nice.
Definitely looks like it's going well though.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, who knows? A couple more years when you're married, we might turn up yours.
Yeah. Now with your preparation, going back to footy a bit, what do you like? Do you like to get to the ground a certain time, or do you do anything special in the mornings?
Superstitions.
Yeah. Oh, I reckon you mellow a little bit on that as you get older. I definitely used to eat the same thing every night. Actually, probably still eat the same thing. It's normally a spinach pesto pasta the night before.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
1 year was a bit of fun because I played a really good game after eating a chocolate self-sourcing pudding. Ooh. So that was a whole year of chocolate pudding.
If it works, it works.
It was a good year.
Stick to winning formula.
That's right. But we normally just go down to the ground. I like to get there. Look, I don't like to get there super early, but we normally get there 2 hours beforehand, which is enough. Sort of keep it pretty relaxed until we get into the warm-up, and then things fire up from there. I used to have a fair few in terms of what to eat, time to eat, and all that sort of thing. But chocolate at half time, I normally have chocolate at half time, which people get surprised by.
Good sugar gets you, lollies, gets you up and about.
That's right. Yeah. Whittaker's pin-up slab.
Yeah.
Half time's not bad.
Yeah. No, and it must be good to be back to full contact training with all the boys, preparing for a season where you'll be seen as the hunted.
Yeah, it's a funny one. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, that, isn't it? It's nice to be back to be preparing, but hitting blokes at training is always a bit of a funny one as well, considering they're your mates. I think blokes just starting to get used to being tackled again and not expecting it. So yeah, it's the best part about it is not worrying about having to be close to people anymore. That sort of just goes out, and then you realise, well, if I'm if I'm tackling a bloke at training, I can probably hang out with him in the change room. So I think everyone's getting comfortable being in each other's space again, which is nice, and hopefully we don't have any blips on the radar with that.
Yeah, because it did shut down the whole footy club if something were to spike up.
Yeah. Even the competition.
Yeah. Just finishing on like the offside of the game, are you someone like gets strapped up or like before? I know a lot of guys go through a lot of strapping in that sense.
Yeah, well, it's I made a bit of a conscious decision to try and be as self-sufficient as I could, which has probably gone by the wayside the last couple of years. I've needed a bit more help to get up. Craig King was our physio, and I spent a lot of time with him, with dry needling and that sort of stuff. But ideally, I like to start the year with no strapping on it and see how far I can get. But haven't been as successful the last couple of years. I've been coming off with a significant amount of tape. Just as you pick up little niggles or injuries you're not going to get over till you get a bit more time. But the less work you need done before the game, the better. So try and be as self-sufficient as I can.
Save a bit of time.
Yeah, give Aaron a fair go at it. But I definitely wasn't doing that last year.
Yeah, so just before we move on to the segments, you're 30, you've played over 100 league games for Subiaco. How long can you see yourself playing league football over here in Perth, and is it possible for you to maybe go back to Melbourne and spend some more time with family once you've finished playing over here?
Yeah, it's a tough question, that one. I'd like to make the decision. I think the big part for me is make it on my own terms, I guess. Be in a position where you're playing well enough that if you want to keep going, you can, and you're not a burden on anyone, or not just getting a game because you've already played 100. So that's a big focus for me. I'm still loving it. This gives you a little bit of taste, I suppose, this period about what life after footy will be like, and having that extra time and some positives to it. But yeah, no, it's the best way to be able to stay social and see as many people in a small period of time as you can, really. So I'm loving that aspect. And going back to Melbourne, oh, it's still home. Like, it still feels that my family's all going to probably be there. My sister's in Singapore at the moment, but probably all going to be there apart from me soon. So that'll be a bit of a tough one. But geez, Perth's pretty good. If I grew up here, I don't think I would have been leaving. So we'll have to see. It was only supposed to be 2 years, and it's been five, so that happened pretty quickly.
It's more than the game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, unreal. It's best. First off, playing footy is, can't think of a better place to play footy.
The weather, it's always good.
The weather, yeah. I don't reckon it rained the first year I was here. and then just the other aspects of it, I've got a place in West Perth, which is, that sort of thing would be tough to have in Melbourne, and just everything's really nice, and it's been set up pretty well, so hopefully it continues like that. But it'd be nice to have some people over from Victoria soon, if the borders, if things go well and we can have people come in, that'd, that'd be nice.
Any big goals or anything? Are you someone that likes to set a task or an achieve, or you just go with the flow and see what happens?
Probably a little bit from both. With footy, definitely the goals to win a premiership. There's a lot to go through to not win, especially when you've had a taste of winning it. You put a lot of work in, and really a lot of it for us is winning on that final day. Anything short of that is, it's hard to be anything but disappointed. So yeah, that's the goal, really. I really just look at the season in front of me. I guess the other sort of goal, you just want to play your best year every year. You know, it's as soon as you sort of stop trying to get better, then, you know, what are you turning up for? So just always trying to get a little bit better. You might be kidding yourself when you get to a certain age, but there's always something you can focus on and try and get better at one aspect of the game, even if you start to slow down. So, yeah. Geez, it'd be nice to kick a few more goals. I'd be up for that. Or take a specky here or there. It's been a long time between drinks with
maybe
that.
Maybe just go up to Bo and just say, can you put me forward for a bit? So I slightly one
cage.
Out.
I might try and do that. I don't think it'll go down too well in my favour, that conversation.
Just move Ben Sokol out of there.
Yeah, he's not
he's
much
had
good,
too
is
much
he?
Success, hasn't he? And we'll move on. Great insight. But in Strife, Luca, who's in Strife?
Back.
Yeah, it's back.
Well, in Strife.
Anyone?
Back, yeah.
Is that the segment? In Strife?
Yeah, that's the segment. Yeah, we started running it last year, but with Cowell away, it's something that he's been running. So, we haven't been able to get onto it. But we'll jump straight into it. So, first of all, in Strife, Eddie Maguire. It could give him a couple of reasons here, but we'll start off with the most obvious one. The battle against the Port Adelaide prison bar jersey. Wanting to take that to court. So what do you think, boys?
That is a good in Strife. We say anyone in the sporting industry is in Strife, definitely. I know not a lot's going on at the moment, but, like, surely he wanted to take it to court. Like, surely, like, why can't... It's not even the same as a Collingwood jersey. they just want to wear it in showdowns. It's their 150th anniversary. Just let it be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, the thing is, they said they want to wear it more often in the future. And Eddie was like, "Nah, I'm not having any of that." And
but it's not his decision.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
agreed. But as long as they don't use it when they're versing Collingwood, yeah, it should be fine.
It'd look a bit weird.
Yeah, as long as they don't wear it with Collingwood, I don't see what the problem is from him. It's a jersey. Shouldn't have a problem with it if they're not versing each other. If they're versing other teams, should be fine. No worries.
Yeah, you've nailed it there.
Yep.
Now Kane Corns, he's in strife most weeks, but for this week,
he's a hot
head, this segment.
Yep. But for this week, we've got him in for saying that Travis Boak and Robbie Gray are greats of the game. They are good players and good players of the game. But he thinks they'll be automatic Hall of Fame selections in year to come.
That is
well. There's still people, I believe, that still haven't got a Hall of Fame and have been retired for a couple of number of years now, and they still haven't got Hall of Fame. And the likes of like Dean Cox, not saying he didn't deserve it, but there are other people that have done probably, yeah, I say, more than him. Well, like Boomer Harvey, he's played
Western 400. Australian biased, I think, coming through.
Yeah, Dean Cox was one of the greatest rocks.
Yeah,
he was essentially like a fifth midfielder, wasn't he? Yeah.
Sort of like Lachlan Delahunty.
Yeah.
Jeez, Lachie would take that.
He would.
Yeah, of course.
Dean wouldn't have.
he's a deserving winner, but like, there's other people out there as well that you would think could have been in front of him, maybe.
And some might be thinking we are WA biased, but Travis Boak and Robbie Gray, you don't think of them they're greats of the game, like they're modern day like champions, you know what I mean?
They're good, but
especially Boak. Gray, like they've both been playing for a while now, but I think because this came up when Kane Corns he hosts Footy SA/WA and they did they said, is this play good or great? And they put it on their Twitter. Our mate Andrew Emberley, he was like the lowest rated.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a great of the game, but you've got to be doing
more. He's achieved more.
Yeah.
He's got a premiership medal. He's got a Norm Smith medal. He's played 250 games. He's done a lot.
He's got a cooking show.
Yeah,
he's got
cooking with embers, garlic prawns.
Yeah.
But,
All right.
Last one.
Last of all in strife, we've got the big boss, Gillon McLachlan. He's still not got a broadcast deal fully sorted. Well, that's as of now, as we're recording it. But just one day before the games are back, and Fox and Channel 7 haven't agreed on how much they'll pay. I think the extra break time between goals, I think it's an extra 15 seconds they're getting, or an extra 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's 45 seconds now. I think it is something like that.
I think it's just enough to fit an extra.
Yeah, because I think it's usually 30, isn't it? Or 15 or something.
With everything that's happened, it's like completely like.
Yeah.
Stuffed.
I think I think it's just to get the extra add in for the extra revenue for the game.
It depends who pays the most money, but in my opinion, I believe Fox, because you know it's like paid and Channel 7's free to air, probably should have a bit more higher rights, but I guess we'll see what happens. Any deal is better than no deal, as tomorrow the footy starts. Yeah. So.
Of course.
All right. Now we'll jump into the tips. It's been what, 2.5 months since we last tipped. So
yeah, so
80-something days,
I think it was. Brian Cower on 7. And myself, Noah, who's not here at the moment, and Luca, all on 6. And then it's kind of stuffed, though, because we had the guests. We had Nick Robertson, former Brisbane player and East Perth player now. He was going to come in and we're going to all be on 0 and tip. Yep. And now, because he wasn't there, we couldn't tip. And now the guest tally is 1 behind. So we'll get Lee to help us out.
Might put a multiplier in at the end.
Yeah.
With the tips. But Noah has sent us in, but
we can all have a buy round at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get started. Thursday, tomorrow night, Collingwood vs Richmond at the MCG. Bray, who you got?
Richmond, no doubt, I believe.
I'm going for the Pies. I reckon they could, I wouldn't say cause an upset because like it's the first game back, but I reckon Collingwood will jump out of the blocks early and
It's a real shame that this game can't be played in front of crowds because this would be a monster.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This would be a monster game.
Collingwood would be favourites because they'll have all their
80,000
members, whatever it is there. So there's going to be absolutely zero of them there.
Yeah,
so.
this would be a great game to play in front of crowds.
Who are you going, Luca?
I think it's going to be Collingwood for me.
Yeah.
That's Melbourne footy walking along Punt Road to that game. That doesn't go better than that. Can't go past Tommy Lynch leading the Tigers.
Delahunty's cousin. Mm.
Yep. So, and I've been told Cow has gone for Collingwood.
Yeah, and Noah
Collingwood supporter.
Has gone for Richmond. So
Cal's sitting in the studio but won't make his way over to the microphone.
Yeah. It's a bit too lazy from it. So yeah, Noah's gone for Richmond, so a bit of mixed tips there. We'll move on.
Friday night,
June 12th, Geelong versus Hawthorn at GHNBA Stadium.
GMHBA.
Yeah. Bray, who you got?
I'll take Geelong. Hawthorn, I guess. They're kind of in a rebuild stage, you could say. But definitely probably be close, but I reckon Geelong will come away with the win.
Yeah, I agree with you. I reckon Geelong as well.
Yeah, I'll go Geelong too.
Yeah, Geelong for me.
And
Cow's going for Hawthorn.
So is Noah.
Oh, wow.
Two off.
Pick.
Never know.
We'll go the Saturday games. First off, Brisbane versus Freo at the Gabba. Bray.
Brisbane.
Oh, I'm a Dockers supporter, so it's hard because I always want to tip
Brisbane.
I always want to tip Fremantle because obviously I go for them, but like, I don't know. I'm gonna tip Brisbane though. I think they'll be Lachie Neal. I think we'll be looking forward to seeing him with against his old mate Nat Fyfe if they come against each other.
Yeah, good matchup that one. They say you should never tip with your heart, but I'm going to go with my heart here and I'm going to back Fremantle. So Fremantle for me.
Now Cow has actually walked over from his seat.
Momentous.
He's walked in. He's here at the microphone, and here he's going to put his tip in.
Yeah, I'm going to go Brisbane.
Very good.
And yep, Noah, probably. The great Dockers supporter, he is very loyal. He's gone with the Dockers as well.
Yep.
The next Saturday game, Carlton versus Melbourne at Marvel.
Blockbuster.
No.
Just about.
Thing is, there's no there's no crowd.
There'd
game,
be a
obviously.
Monster crowd if there was, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go Carlton just because I reckon they played pretty well against Richmond, even though things could have changed. But I reckon they're underdogs. I reckon.
Jump on the
As deck. I said in my pre-season predictions, I said they're going to make finals. So
you could be in strife later on.
Yeah, well, I could be, but that's my call, and I'm tipping them. I'm staying with them.
This is hard. I don't know. It's so hard to tip because like anything could happen.
Yeah.
It's like round one all over again.
I'm gonna go Carlton. I can jump on the David Teague bandwagon with that. Lee.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Carlton as well. But I'd like to see Gorney get the D's over the line.
Get the fantasy points up.
Yeah, it'd be good to see Max Gorn get him up. But yeah, Carlton for me. Just the better side. And they'll play better.
Oh, I'm going to go the D's. I think they're the better side of the weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, well, Noah here, he has Carlton as well. Gold Coast versus Braves, West Coast Eagles at Metricon. Easy for me.
Pick.
West Coast Eagles. As much as I don't like them,
yep.
I think they'll be too strong. But people are saying that Gold Coast could cause an upset.
There was someone that said that on the couch. Yeah.
If there was a team that could do it, it would be Gold Coast.
It's unpredictable, aren't they?
But yeah, West Coast for me, it's a no-brainer.
Agreed.
Yep. I'll go West Coast as well, fellas.
I'll go Gold Coast. I'll go Gold Coast.
Just because they...
Always a contrarian.
Just because...
Home ground.
The reason he's saying that is because West Coast beat his Pies in the 2018 grand final and he still hasn't gotten over it.
And he supports all the Queensland teams. Supports the Brisbane Heat.
Dom Shee.
Food from the
Lucas favourite line.
He's all interstate, that man.
And yeah, Noah's gone West Coast as well.
The showdown.
Yeah,
2,000 people in the building.
The only game with crowds for a long time.
Yep, agreed. This is going to be a nail biter.
Do you reckon though?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Port in this. I'm pretty sure it's their home game, isn't it? But
I think it's going to be the same.
They're
going to
have 1,000 extra.
They're going to have the name first on the fixture.
Get the naming right.
Yeah, and they have 1,000 more spectators.
I'm going to go Port as well. I think they'll be too strong.
Yeah, Port.
I'm going to go Port as well, boys. And just, I'm a big Travis Boak fan, so hope you don't mind this, but just quietly, he was captain for 5 years, 2-time All Australian, 2-time Best and Fairest, 2-time All. Australian representative honours, Victorian representative State of Origin football, Showdown medal 2013, 3-times Peter Badko VC medal, Gavin Wanganeen medal, and AFL Rising Star.
He's done his research here.
He's just.
I'm not saying he's bad, but is he Hall of Fame worthy?
Not too many blokes win two best and fairest and go.
He just whipped out the Google.
Australian 5 years captain. I'm just following your lead on the phone here.
He's no dual Brownlow medalist though, is he? He's not that far.
Referring to the
seriously,
the knife himself. We'll be up to Port for me. You said Portly.
Port.
Yeah, Luca.
Yep, Port for me as well.
Noah's gone Port.
Port as well.
Oh,
we've all gone. Go. Never tear us apart.
No. Now, it'd be good to see.
Appropriate you there, Ethan.
GWS versus North Melbourne, the first of the Sunday games. I think GWS. They'll.
Oh yeah, comfortably. I think.
Mm.
GWS for me as well.
Yeah, I think the Paz man will be happy with this. GWS.
Oh yeah, and sorry, Noah's gone the Giants as well.
Yeah, I'll go the Giants.
Ah, here he is.
Good.
He's finally he's coming out. Right. And second last game, Sydney versus Essendon, SCG. The Swans for me. I reckon people think that they're underrated. I reckon because people think they're gonna not make finals for a few years.
I'm gonna go Sydney. Too bad. They played pretty well in that Adelaide game in round one. I saw, I think they came back from behind pretty well. Adelaide, they played a pretty good first half and just faded. So Sydney stuck in there. So Sydney for me.
Yeah.
I'll go on a slightly different note. I'll go Essendon.
Don the sash.
Yeah. I'm gonna don the sash.
Done yours,
Cal?
No, I haven't. I'm
going to
go Essendon. Without the big Budweiser. So.
I'll
go the Swans as well.
Yeah, and Noah's gone the Swans. And finally, the last game of the round.
I think it's the third last. The Giants one's the last game, I'm pretty sure. I think you've got to...
Oh.
Think it's down wrong. But
the
anyway.
Last game
Boys,
on our
team. You on our yeah.
St Kilda versus the Western Bulldogs.
Ooh.
This could be... Because Western Bulldogs, they have to bounce back. If Western Bulldogs lose, they're going to be in strife this time next week. they absolutely got
it's
belted
one,
by
it's two games in 3 months. Surely
yeah, but yeah, the amount strife. Of criticism they copped after that game against the Pies, because people are saying they're going to make top four, they could win the premiership. But I think for me, I'm going to go. Who do I want to go? I'm going to go. I reckon Bulldogs. They'll bounce back.
I'm going to go the Saints.
Lee.
I'll take the Dogs.
Yeah, I think Bailey Smith, he's going to channel all his energy from all the teenage girls that he's been getting over the
Baz
break.
Lanker.
So, yeah, I think Baz Lanker, yeah, he's going to you channel all his energy and the Dogs are going to come up on top.
In strife segment? Or?
No, I think if we had an in-good segment.
I mean, he's played 20 games. Yeah, he's played 20 games. He's got 100K Instagram followers. He's just living life. You guys go. And then I'll say Noah's one.
Yeah, I've said mine one's St Kilda.
Yeah, I'll go to St Kilda as well.
And Noah's gone for the Bulldogs, so...
There you go.
This
round two done.
I reckon this week, after these games done, someone from here, it could be the first time that someone could get zero. Because it's just so unpredictable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never know.
Oh, anything can happen in AFL.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well...
And anything is possible. Believe in never.
We've got two segments left. The second last one. Good call, bad call. How it's going to work. I've got statements on the phone. I'm going to read them out. And Luca and Lee at the same time, either say good call, bad call in your opinion. A few different ones in here. A couple ones about... there's one about Subi, which is the first one. So if Subiaco wins this year's premiership, they should have a one-off exhibition game against whoever wins the AFL Wooden Spoon.
Good call, I reckon. Yeah, very good call.
Jeez, I'd be happy to say it, so I'll say good call, but that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Adelaide and the Gold Coast Suns are the only teams we should rule out to not make the finals this year.
Bad call.
Bad call. North Melbourne won't play finals either.
Okay, interesting. This year's AFL Grand Final should have been scheduled to play at night as a one-off.
Bad call.
You like the tradition?
Bad call. It's been that. It'll be that sort of season, so I think we've got to try and keep as much the same as we can. Yeah. So, yeah, bad call.
Now, going off the Hall of Fame, the AFL Hall of Fame, or All of Fame, isn't as prestigious as it should be.
I could bad call. That's what the Legends is there for.
Luca?
The more the merrier.
Come on, it's supposed to be...
Bad call.
Bad call. Yeah. I'm not sure if you've seen this, Lee, but the punch-up between Adelaide's Billy Frampton and Carl Hardigan is a positive for the Crows and shows they are raring and ready to go.
Good call.
Good call. Get it out, boys.
at least they're going to let it out on the plate on their teammates before the fines and
had a laugh
suspensions.
It's just that culture.
Yeah.
Charlie Kerno's season... ending knee injury is underrated and could be the difference between Carlton's forward line kicking a winning score each week.
Good call, he's a freak.
Yeah, good call.
Has been talked about. Obviously, everything that's happened, but yeah, it's pretty underrated. We'll see more injuries than ever once footy's underway.
bad call. I think teams have been doing a lot of injury prevention stuff through lockdown. Even though the contact will come as a shock, and the bodies will be bashing around quicker than some players expect, I think the amount of injury prevention they've done, and I know some clubs have even done some ballet stuff to help with landing. So yeah, I think they'll, yeah, injuries won't be yeah, oh yeah, there we go.
Second last one. I know we just said there shouldn't be as many people in the Hall of Fame, but Bruce McAvaney is the next media person in line for the Hall of Fame.
Bad call.
Oh, but
Brian Taylor.
I don't know who's in at the moment. So
Dennis Committee.
Is Dennis in?
Yeah,
Bruce would have to be, Drew, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Who else would be out there?
I'd like to see Jason Dunster on there for the media as well, or Lethal. Just get those folks back in.
And last one, the Subi Sizzle is the best segment on social media right now.
Good call. Great call.
Bad call. It's in strife. I've seen it. Yeah, all over the Instagram and,
are you in
and
that?
The Facebook.
Have you been
now?
Yeah,
now with
Locks.
Yeah. We get cut out of a couple of sections because we were a bit too much flavour on the answers.
Did they just do all that in one day and now they're just like editing it?
Oh, man, that's an industry secret.
Well, there you go. Well, that's it for a good call, bad call. But we have a quiz now.
It's back. I haven't done this in a while.
I'm
nervous about this, and I reckon there could have been some collusion. So
keep best that in of mind. Five. Now,
we don't
not
even
to
know
put any pressure on you, but Harry Marsh and Gus Lidlin were pretty good.
Good.
I think
they both
Harry
won,
Marsh
I think.
Definitely won.
49.
I think Angus C won.
No,
was it 3-2
won.
He won?
Yeah, Angus won 3-2.
Yeah. Well, see, they know their knowledge, those boys. So first question. So the last, we got four normal questions.
Do I have to buzz in?
Just say
your name. So four questions and then who am I at the end. So the first one, how many Subiaco players made the Waffle Team of the Year last year?
Bray.
Go on.
Are you in as well, Bray?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. It's me. It's me. Yeah, it's me now.
Yeah, it's Brian.
I'm going to say four.
He's got it.
Oh,
only four. Lockyer, Della.
I was going to say 10, but I was
Lockyer,
like, no.
Della
Hunter. Yeah, I was like, no, that doesn't work.
Only four. She's won by 85 points, but that's right.
So 1-0 to Bray.
See, that's good form for me.
Okay, I think this
champion
should be
team,
an automatic
champion.
One of you has to get this. Who is currently on top of the AFL ladder?
Oh, Port Adelaide.
What are we going to do there?
You have to go with the buzzer.
Gonna,
rules
yeah,
are rules.
The buzzer rule. The rules are the rules.
Cost us two premiership.
Yeah,
rules
we'll make
rules.
It interesting. Okay. Third one. Who was the last AFL coach to win a flag in their first year?
Lee. Jeez, he's lost his name.
Time's
Doggy's coach. Is that his first year?
Did you say Docker's coach?
The Doggy's coach came in.
No. Second year, but close.
Damn, this is tough.
Oh, it's the Scott brothers.
Which one?
Chris.
He's got it. 2-1.
Sorry, mate. I saved you the silence there.
Come on, Bray. Yeah.
Come on, Bray.
All right. Now, Cal off air said that Bray should easily get this, but I'm not agreeing.
I'm not going to back.
All right, continue.
Which current player, who when they played for Sydney, kicked 19 behinds before they scored their first ever goal in 2010? Doesn't play for Sydney now, still plays in the AFL.
Lee, Rowan?
Gary Rowan.
Incorrect.
Okay. I'm out then.
How do you think I know this?
Okay. Do you guys want a hint?
Yeah.
He plays for the West Coast Eagles. Bray's favourite team.
Oh, come on, Bray.
Came from Sydney.
Oh, Lewis Jetta.
He's got it.
Well done.
19 goals. I remember that.
Sorry, Gary.
19
Rowan.
Behind.
You wouldn't miss that.
Okay, 2-0. Who's gonna be the champion?
Oh,
all right, this is who am I?
It's polite to let you guess when.
I was born on the 7th of June 1990 and was taken with pick 7 in the 2008 National Draft, winning the 2009 Rising Star Award, and have played 209 games to date. You might know me for my ability to play off half back, my elite left foot, and long blonde hair, and came from Subiaco.
Oh, Lee, Daniel Rich.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Well, that's stiff because I got question two first. That's stiff.
He's done it. Which means Bray will be off for the next, whenever the next guest is in.
Well, that's absolutely
stiff. You lose the seat.
Yeah, he's given
stiff.
Another one to the
guest.
We're
not sure who's going to be in next. As I think the next couple are over the phone.
Yeah, well, that's three in a row for the Subi boys. So,
you beauty.
Yeah, well done, Lee, for keeping
three, Pete.
Yep.
Thanks, mate. I could see you knew that one. You just let me have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it, though.
Oh, I was giving you a chance. Yeah. It's just what I do, make it interesting. unfortunately, boys, that's all we've got time for today. It's been a massive show for us, two guests in the one show, and the preview back to footy.
It's good to have footy back. And Obviously,
thanks for Lee for coming. Haven't had one in for a while. Into this, great to have you in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It was good fun. Yeah,
thanks, Leon, Dave. Well.
Yeah, answering our call before, but. To everyone listening, make sure to follow our Instagram, like the Facebook, check out the YouTubers. There's a couple of new content out there. We're doing some goal recreations.
The Tomboy Nat. Get around that. A few recreations planned.
We've got a couple planned in the coming weeks. So make sure to check out the socials at Centre Square Podcast. But until then, you're listening to Sport FM 91.3.